Purdue gear. It's like all old golden black day today, Stuart. You're looking good, man.
You know what? I decided to go a little retro, a little like player travel gear, you know? So I felt that, you know, I was watching, I was making some videos. I did the 2001 Purdue-Illinois game. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a player today. So I'm 21 years old right now, Clayton.
So you're already like in launching, heading to Iowa City mode.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's just Tuesday.
Yes.
You're just starting your practice week.
I'm ready. I am absolutely ready.
Good. Good. So we got lots to talk about here today. As usual, got our guest list today coming up at 4:15. McCutchen girls soccer coach Branko Isailovic will join us. McCutchen had a wild and crazy sectional championship game with rival Harrison over the weekend. 18 penalty kicks late to decide it. McCutchen winning 12-11.
18 penalty kicks, huh?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. They just kept going back and forth. So, Coach will be with us here coming up at 4:15, 5:15. Johnny Sage, Purdue senior outfielder for the Boilermakers. The Black and Gold Series coming up starting Thursday at Alexander Field. Johnny, a senior, had a nice ball game over the weekend against Wabash Valley. So, we will talk with Johnny coming up here at 5:15. Also today, another job shadow today.
Yes.
Another job shadow.
This one is a little closer to your heart, though.
This one is, this is the daughter.
Yeah.
The daughter is here. Lexi is here. Harrison freshman. Say hello, Lexi.
Hello.
So, saying hi to everyone. So, you know, yesterday, Stuart, it was...
Gavin.
Gavin, that was hitting me with all the tough questions. You get to answer all the tough questions today.
Okay.
She can't job shadow me because you can't job shadow a family member. So she's got like pages and pages and pages of questions.
Oh boy.
Gavin had me sweating a little bit yesterday at times. So I'm just going to give you a warning.
When did you answer those questions? I didn't see that.
Some before the show, some during the show, some after the show.
Okay. All right.
So we can sprinkle them in.
All right.
Over the next couple of hours. So great to have the daughter on board.
Yeah.
With the show here today, so we will try and help her out as we can. And if Lexi, if you need anything, just let us know. All right? All right. So we are good there. Our Hammerhead Hot Topic today, I'm kind of thinking here, Stuart, doing a little spitballing here.
Okay.
We need some help from our Hammerheads, and I know they can help us out. My thought is that Purdue is 6 games in. Boilermakers are 2-4, so 6 down, 6 to play in the regular season. So who is your midseason most valuable Boilermaker? Who's your MVP of the first half of 2019? And along those lines, we have to figure this out. To qualify to be an MVP... Mm-hmm. For 2019,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean you have to have played in all 6 games? Can you be the most valuable Boilermaker and not play in all 6 games?
Yeah.
You can be.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, you can.
All right. So I threw that out on the Twitter machine at 101.7 The Hammer. Also throwing it out here via call or text 765-447-4080. Let's get a list together of the most valuable Boilermakers through the first 6 games of the season. We can compile the list, and then we can either throw that list out there today on the show or tomorrow on the show to get a true vote on who the Hammerheads think is the MVP, the most valuable Boilermaker of the first half of 2019. It's almost odd even thinking that we're already halfway through.
I know.
The 2019 regular season.
It's crazy.
So, I'm like, hey, maybe we should give that a ride and see what we can come up with. So, call us or text us, 765-447-4080, or respond on our Twitter page and let us know who your MVP is of the first half. Before, Stuart, we get to that, Want to pass along a little tell me something?
Tell me something I don't know.
Brought to you by Volante Testosterone Therapy. Purdue tight end Bryson Hopkins named the John Mackey Tight End of the Week. Second time this season that Hopkins has been honored by the Mackey Award, folks. Hopkins, 10 catches, 140 yards, both
big
career
game.
Highs in the win over Maryland. His 10 receptions, the most by a Purdue tight end since
Tim Stratton.
Former Mackey winner Tim Stratton way back in 2001. The 2019 John Mackey recipient will be announced December 11th. All part of the College Football Awards Red Carpet Show. Coming up, let's see, the show's on the 12th. So recipient announced on the 11th, award handed out on the 12th during that show on ESPNU. So there you go, Bryson Hopkins. When you play well, when you win, the honors roll in.
That's right.
Simple as that. What do you got over there?
So this is from RJ. He says, Big George for MVP.
Okay.
And then this is Jed. He says, which he wrote yesterday, he said, also on the long throw to Hopkins where Plummer scrambled, Fuller had an absolutely awesome blitz pickup to give Plummer the time he needed. Helps that line if you have a running back who can pick up the offensive line's mistakes. Absolutely. Remember, I talked about that. Talked about these young running backs being able to, they got to pick up those blocks,
mm-hmm.
those blitzers.
Right.
And then he says, Stu, can you explain the advantage of having a cornerback that is big like Trice, who may be a step slower versus cornerbacks who are 5'8", 5'11"? Well, it comes down to just throwing the ball up in the air. I mean, if a guy's just taller than someone, he doesn't need to be faster. He doesn't need to be stronger. He doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to have a higher football IQ. It's just a game of pitch and catch. And Corey Trice, I would take him because he's harder to get around. I mean, receivers need to get around those DBs. And the longer your wingspan is, the harder it is, the tougher it is for those guys to get into their routes. So he may be slower, but he's making up for it in the fact that he can kind of hold that guy at bay longer than someone who is a little bit smaller. So I'm taking it all day long. I'm taking big DBs all day long.
You're a big fan of those.
I am. They're tough to get around. Receivers don't like to be touched. They don't like physicalness. They're tougher to block when they're bigger. They don't like that stuff. They get frustrated.
Receivers too.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
They get a little whiny.
They're a little pouty anyway.
A little pouty pout.
They're a little alerted. They're a little emotional as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get in their heads, you got an advantage.
The bigger you are, the harder it is to get around you.
Right. Right.
Simple as that.
And we've seen, and Purdue fans have seen over the years, some history of some issues you can have when your cornerbacks are smaller.
I don't care how fast you are. If that guy could just out-jump you, that's it.
Right. Right.
So that's one of the things I like about the defensive backs. Not only just the corners, but even, you know, I mean, you look at Jalen Graham, 6'3". You know, Cameron Allen, 6'1". Marvin Grant, 6'2", I think. You know, I mean, we're getting the size back there that you need to be able to compete at a high level in the Big Ten.
And it looks like, with each play, each quarter, each half, each game, that these guys are getting more comfortable.
Oh yeah.
But then I'm also seeing guys that are also willing now to make that tight end or that wide receiver or running back, make them pay for whatever play they're making, whether it's catching the ball, running the ball. We didn't really see that earlier on in the season.
Yeah, they're coming up. They're hitting a lot harder. And you know why, Clayton? Because they're playing faster, because they're not thinking. They're out there. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They know their responsibilities, and they're letting their athleticism take the forefront. Because when you're thinking out there, you just can't play fast. That's what you don't want to do.
Eddie, our man Eddie.
Oh.
He's got one for you.
Keister?
Yeah. Eddie Keister, the O's man.
Let's see here.
We're trying to compile a list of who should be on the list for the most valuable Boilermaker through the first six games of 2019. What's he got?
He says, I would have to say I have heard Ben Holt's name every week. never the hero, but he is always mentioned. I mean, he's like second or third in the Big Ten for tackles. So, I mean, whenever you're on tops of any category in the Big Ten, you're doing something right. He's a guy who I think plays probably bigger than he is. You know, I mean, he's a it looks like, and I love him, and I love the family, but I looked at him on the field this Saturday. I'm like, did he get smaller out there? Like, I was just like, man, but he'll give 100%. He will leave it on the field. And I respect that. And I think the other players respect that as well.
When he was the most valuable Boilermaker through the first six games of the regular season for Purdue football. We're halfway home, folks, in the regular season.
Yeah, we are.
Six down, six to go. So we're compiling a list. So far, George Karloftis nominated.
Yep.
So far, Ben Holt nominated. Stewart rolled out a nomination.
Plummer.
On the Twitter machine at 101.7 The Hammer for Jack Plummer. So we're up to three. So let's continue to get those all compiled, and then we can all kind of melt it down and then throw it out to our hammerheads on Twitter and kind of see what the deal is there. So we try and figure it out who is the most valuable. You got anything over there?
Yeah, I do. This is from David Ungaro, who had wrote us last week, and he's talking about the McCutchen game. He says, still no mention that McCutchen won in nine kicks. The ref screwed up the procedure, and that is why it went to 18.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Just that score and the amount of penalty kicks, I was just like blown away when I saw that.
That's a lot.
Like 18?
Yes.
So that was amazing. That's why I wanted to get Coach on, because I'm like, I got to get the details about this.
Yeah.
Because it was just nuts for the level of those two teams battling it out back and forth to finally determine who's going to take home the trophy. But, man, that really adds a chapter to Harrison and McCutchen.
Oh, yeah.
Overall, the rivalry between the schools and all the sports. But especially in girls' soccer, when you think about what happened there. You ready to do some painting?
Sure.
It's time for Stu to paint a picture. Brought to you by Boots Painting Services.
The holiday season is just around the corner, Clayton, and you know what that means. That's right. Celebrations with family and friends at your house. Don't be the man who has the in-laws or your friends staying in a dull, drab, depressing room. Call Butts Painting, 765-446-7700, and get a fresh coat of paint on the walls and be the holiday hero, holiday hammerhead hero that we know you can be. Don't wait until the week of Thanksgiving or the week of Christmas or New Year's to call Tim or Ed at Butts Painting. Give them a call right now at 765-446-7700. That is 765-446-7700. And tell them the guys at the Hammer Down Show sent you.
So what's on your mind? What's on your thoughts when you think Purdue football? We got a ton of Coach Brohm sound we did not get to yesterday that we can jump into.
Yeah.
I know sometimes on Tuesdays, I kind of like to, and we don't have to go this route, but sometimes like there are questions for Coach during his news conference on Mondays where he's just talking individually about a player. So there's some stuff from Coach about Tario Fuller, about King Doerr. The Sam Garvin story is really interesting.
All right.
About the new center for the Boilermakers. Also, some sound from Coach about Corey Trice, who we have talked about a little bit, and also him talking about, hey, are there any new faces left that we haven't seen?
I don't think so.
So far. So let's I thought this was interesting about Sam Garvin. Started his first career game for Purdue at center this past weekend against Maryland.
Yep.
Sam, a walk-on with the team and from Fishers. And, you know, clearly getting in all the reps, everything he's trying to do in practice, and things evolving with Victor Beach and the injury there. And it was kind of a situation where, hey, it was time to get Sam Garvin out there. So here's... first, we'll have Coach Brohm, courtesy of the Big Ten Network, talking about his kind of his evaluation of Sam's play against the Maryland Terrapins.
For a guy who hasn't been here very long, I give him a lot of credit. He came in, he executed, he made the calls, he snapped the ball well, and he did a good job. Now, do we need more out of him? Yes, we do. We need him to be more physical up front. We need him to be knock people off the ball a little bit more and strike. Those are things he can work on. But for a first start in just managing the front and the calls, and as small as it sounds, the snapping of the football, I'm very proud of his performance, and we're hopeful that he can continue to improve and get better.
So, Coach, courtesy of the Big Ten Network, and Stuart, I know you've said it many times and you can say it again, explain to our Hammerheads just how just what a challenge that is to play in the center position, really to play anything there on the offensive line, but really the center position when you have just so much responsibility and you're talking about your first start against Maryland and your team needs a win bad.
Yeah, you know, you have to make all the calls, the checks, making sure who the mic is, the sliding, the protections. I mean, it's a lot of calls, and I didn't realize how many calls they have going on until I volunteer coach at Saginaw Valley State University and was coaching the tight ends and basically their extended tackle. And there are a lot of calls and checks. So for him to go in there and play as well as they did, and one of the things Coach Brohm did to kind of help them is they did an outside zone blocking scheme, which pushes the offensive line to one side of the field. The defenders don't know if they're running the ball or if they're passing it, so it kind of holds them up, and it creates some time back there for a quarterback. And you saw that was we had success with that. They ran that actually 14 times during the game.
So that's Coach's evaluation of Sam in his first start, the walk-on from Fishers, played at Hamilton Southeastern. So he joined the team as a walk-on in 2018.
Yeah.
But then Coach was asked about, okay, what's the backstory here about Sam Garvin and how he got to campus? And this is when it gets real, real interesting.
All right.
Check this out.
I'm pretty sure it was our first year I got here, and that we're kind of in the picture late, and we kind of brought him and his family in to convince them to come walk on. Thought we had a great, great visit. Had some people kind of in our corner working behind the scenes, and the next day he said he's going to IU. So I said, well, obviously it didn't go as great as I think. I think he was so entrenched with IU at the time. They had recruited him, a lot of friends and buddies going there, and he maybe knew things, so he felt more comfortable with that is what I was told. I think it was after just one semester he decided to, you know, that he, in his opinion, made the wrong decision and transferred over to us. His parents went to Purdue. I think maybe he felt he made a mistake, but, you know, he's done a great job. He works hard, gives us everything he's got.
Coach Brohm, courtesy of the Big Ten Network. I like how Coach said during the soundbite, he said, in his opinion,
yeah,
that he made a mistake in going to IU. So it's kind of interesting how things shake out sometimes for players to think like, well, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
This will be great. All my buddies are going to be here. It's going to be a great time. Going to play at IU. Got a lot of friends and family down there. This will be awesome. And then you're there for a little bit and you're like, oh boy.
Not for me.
Made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
It'd have been interesting to hear like what was the conversation like with Sam and his family and Coach Brohm after that semester, and then him contacting Purdue and Coach and saying, hey, made a mistake. Can I still come to Purdue? And what Coach's reaction would have been.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be good.
Yeah. That was not asked, but I thought that was interesting. But, I mean, you just think about Sam Garvin, and of course, I mean, he's not the only. I mean, there's been a lot of shuffling up front to try and get this thing, figured out. And here's Coach Brohm talking about the offensive line play in the Maryland game, and just kind of how things worked for the Boilermakers against the Terps.
I was proud of our offensive line. You know, a lot of times they're going to take a lot of blame when things aren't going well, and when things are going good, the skill players get the credit. We only gave up one sack. We did a few things to help our guys, and I think that did help as well. But I do think our guys played hard. Without question, Grant Hermans had his best game. He definitely stood out. I think Matt McCann was solid again, and those two have to be our best players each week, and that did happen.
It did for 1 week, and as you always mention, you know, okay, you won, everything's great, and now you got to prove it all over again.
Yeah, you do.
And this time on the road.